Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your call. On Saturday, there were over 800 March for Our Lives rallies around the globe. The message from the youth who gave powerful speeches was very clear. We need to listen to young people of color affected by gun violence in low-income communities. Trevon Bosley, a member of Brave Youth Leaders in Chicago, spoke at the March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C., and here is a clip from his speech.
When you have an Illinois state governor, Bruce Rauner, who feels that funding anti-violence programs is, I quote, non-essential spending, you have gun violence. When you have elected officials who feel that getting a few extra dollars from the NRA is more important than their actual constituents, you have gun violence. And when you have a president that would rather constantly talk about and belittle Chicago's violence than rather than send funds and resources, you have gun violence. It's time for the nation to realize gun violence is more than just a Chicago problem or a Parkland problem, but it's an American problem.
That is Trevon Bosley, a member of Brave Youth Leaders in Chicago, speaking at the March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C., and he joins us on the line from Chicago. Hi, Trevon. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know you only have about 5 minutes. I saw your speech. It was so passionate. You talked about your brother, Terrell Bosley, who was shot and killed while leaving church on April 4th, 2006. Yeah. What was it like to tell your brother's story in front of millions of people around the world?
It was a great experience because I just want to make sure that his name is never forgotten, honestly, because he's not here with me to, you know, still live out his life. I just want to make sure that people never forget his name and how powerful he was and how important he was to me.
What do you want us to know about your brother, Terrell?
I just want people to know that he was a big brother and a great role model for me, and that losing someone like a brother is something that you never can heal from. There's days like I'll just randomly cry, or there'll be holidays that you can't celebrate the same, and Christmas time, there's just gifts not there. So I just want people to know that losing a loved one, whether it be gun violence or any other thing, is just truly heartbreaking. Mm.
Do you want to tell us just briefly what happened to Terrell?
Well, Terrell, he was at band rehearsal, and he was helping a friend unload some drums into his car. And when he went outside and was in the car, someone started shooting at the car.
Mm. You know, what's amazing about the rally, Trevon, is that youth in Chicago have been telling their stories and demanding change for years. You have all been talking about how your part of Chicago is completely under-resourced. At the rally, you said, you know, they're building a sports stadium, they have all these bikes for tourists, and yet we don't have adequate after-school programs, teacher pay, internships, good jobs. What sort of reaction have you received after speaking that message on stage?
A lot of people from Chicago have been thanking me for saying our problems on such a public scale, because they tend to get ignored. Day-to-day violence tends not to get the coverage and different things like that that we need. So when we want to voice our problems and what we believe to be solutions for the problem, no one's actually listening. But on this stage, I feel like they heard me.
You also said on stage that since 2006, there have been more than 5,850 people shot and killed in Chicago. You said that since 2012, there have been more than 16,000 people shot in Chicago. Yeah. Trevon, we're at a really amazing moment right now. The youth in Parkland have been talking about their privilege, and they specifically reached out to youth in Chicago. Youth in Chicago travel to Parkland. Youth in Parkland travel to Chicago. What are your thoughts about the connections that are being made?
I'm so happy they made the connections, and they understood that they had the media platform that we've always wanted. And I thank them for actually bringing us into this conversation for gun legislation and the gun debate. And I thank them for letting our voices be heard.
Well, it's the media's job to continue to raise your voices, to invite you onto shows. What are you all planning next in Chicago?
Our next thing in Chicago is going to be June 15th. Father Michael Flager and Saint Sabina do a very large march around the end of the school year, where we march through different communities that have been affected by gun violence. And this is going to be a very, very huge march, and that's happening June 15th.
And before we let you go, you've got a number of really important political races happening right now in Chicago. I understand that people who are vying for the governor's race, they're spending millions and millions of dollars just to run for office. Are these issues the issues that you raised at the rally about having underfunded schools and resources in South Chicago getting attention in this governor's race?
I haven't been hearing much on those topics specifically, just mostly getting Bruce Rauner out of office. That's most of what I've been hearing. But hopefully we'll have conversations with those, with the people running for office, and we can talk about the solutions that we need for our violence epidemic.
Well, I know you have to get to class, so thank you for joining us, and we'd love to check in with you again maybe in summer and around the June 15th march.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Trevon. That's Trevon Bosley. He's a member of Brave Youth Leaders in Chicago, and he gave a passionate speech at the March for Our Lives rally in D.C. He told a story about his brother, Terrell Bosley, who was shot and killed after leaving church on April 4th, 2006. And now I would like to welcome a panel of guests to the show. Balaam Vigil is a 19-year-old District 11 youth commissioner and a freshman at San Francisco State University. Balaam attended Leadership High School and Galileo High in the city. Balaam joins us in studio. Hi, Balaam. Thank you for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having me here
today.
Nice
to have you. Alex Goldberg is a survivor of the Columbine shooting and now works in schools, and her sister spoke at the march in San Francisco. Alex, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Kashawn Newman also traveled to Washington, D.C. from Chicago to attend the March for Our Lives rally. 2 years ago, Kashawn's 16-year-old brother, Randall, was shot and killed in a shootout around the corner from his house. He was shot 9 times. Kashawn is a member of the Bold Resistance Against Violence Everywhere leader, and he lives in Chicago's South Side. Hi, Kashawn. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Kashawn, the New York Times did an amazing video about you and your friends in Chicago. You have been telling the story about your brother, Randall, many, many times in the media. What has that experience been like for you?
My story, just repeating back and forth, makes the reality that I had to lose my stepbrother at a young age, and just for him trying to be a normal teenager, it fuels my determination to actually make a change where I live.
Your brother, Randall, was 16 years old when he was shot and killed in a shootout from around the corner of his house?
Yes. It was a shootout down the street from where he was walking, and he got caught inside of the crossfire from the shots, and he was shot 9 times.
What would you like to tell us about your brother, Randall?
He was an overall great person. He just rose above every single thing. He was a helpful kid. He stayed in all of the great things at school. He made his mark on the world as much as he can. And he could have did great things if he was still here today.
Kashawn, you live in Chicago's South Side, and Chicago gets a lot of attention in the media, a lot of it negative, a lot of negative attention, especially from the White House. What do you want us to know about Chicago's South Side?
Right now, inside of Chicago, it is a terrible thing. Every day I look on this website, and it tells me like all of the lives that's been lost, how many people has been shot. And it brings the reality that Chicago, there is violence out here on a daily basis. So we just try to have to do our best to make this a peaceful and safer community and get as much support as we can to, you know, bring more programs inside of our school, inside of our communities, period. Do our best to try to help out the youth, because the youth is the new generation. They're the future of Chicago and the future of America. And if we can help as much as we can, we'll try our best to.
We were just talking with Trevon Bosley about his speech, and he and so many other youth from South LA to Washington, D.C. were talking about the need for basic resources like fully funded schools, after-school programs, paid internships, and jobs. What kinds of programs do you have in Chicago's South Side?
Programs is limited to what we can do. That's what we're actually trying to do right now. We're trying to bring more groups into it.
You know, let me ask you this, Keyshawn. Let's say, for example, you've got a governor's race right now. They're spending millions and millions of dollars. If this new governor in Chicago said, you know what, we're gonna fully fund places like South Chicago, after-school programs, community resource centers, fully funded schools with adequate school supplies, paid internships, jobs, how do you think that would change your community?
It'll bring us closer together as a community. Well, right now, since we have like limited programs, like me and Trey, we are a part of the same program because there aren't too many out here. So if we can have more out here, we can have more youth off the streets and actually inside of programs, getting to know each other and bring us together so we can actually bring peace onto the community, help each other out as much as we can, and know that the unity is around us.
Keyshawn, it's been amazing to see youth in Parkland connect with youth in Chicago. And in the documentary that the New York Times did about you, you were all gathered at a community meeting talking about your similarities, your differences, how you can join forces. What has it been like for you to connect with youth from across the country?
It shows that we, although the differences that our living standards are, we are still the same and we're trying to make the same goals. It's just a little bit of difference within what we're trying to do. But the youth is out here trying to voice our opinions, so we just try to have our voice out there as much as we can. We just try to keep on fighting so we can live a peaceful place no matter where we are. We just have to keep on fighting as one another and come together as community, as America, for this country.
Keyshawn Newman traveled to Washington, D.C. to attend the March for Our Lives rally from Chicago. 2 years ago, his 16-year-old brother, Randall, was shot and killed in a shootout around the corner from his house. Keyshawn is a member of the Bold Resistance Against Violence Everywhere organization. He's a leader there. He lives in Chicago's South Side. Joining us in studio is Alex Goldberg, a survivor of the Columbine shooting, now works in schools, and Balam Vigil is a 19-year-old District 11 youth commissioner and a freshman at San Francisco State. Balam, what do you think about the connections between all of these different communities? I mean, it's really amazing to see South LA, Washington, Chicago, Parkland.
It's definitely very important to have communities come together. You know, it is a common strategy to try to divide us and conquer us. But on this issue, we need to stand together, united on this core issue of gun violence, because we're all affected. I represent a district where last week on March 21st, we had a shooting where six people got injured, including a police officer, and I believe the gunman was shot and killed. You know, so my community is being affected by it. And in my neighboring districts that neighbor my district, gun violence is such a prevalent issue, like in Bayview Hunters Point. So having communities come together on this issue is very important because it gets the work done. And it shows that when we're unified, we get the work done. And as young people, it is very important to be able to connect together, because at the end of the day, we got each other. We have to have each other's backs and be able to move forward together, because that way it'll be very difficult for any opposition to defeat us and to stop us from achieving the positive goals that we want around gun violence.
The other important aspect of this is the youth really making connections between gun violence and a lack of resources in their communities. We had on a number of young women from the Bayview yesterday, and they talked about this too. They really have to work hard to find these programs, and they're fighting for basic things in this wealthy country: fully funded schools, after school programs, mentorships, jobs. What about that aspect of it?
Oh, it's very true. So I worked at Excelsior Works as an intern. One of my duties was to create, and currently creating, continuing to create, a guide resource book that lists resources in San Francisco, Baby Hunters Point and Visitation Valley have very little to nothing. Visitation Valley is starting to get something, some traction, but we're starting to see when you don't have resources in a community that mentors youth and mentors youth leadership, they're not gonna get that those leadership skills. Excelsior and Mission, we're very lucky to have a lot of resources here. And just viewing our districts when we have these resources, we're noticing that we're having positive youth growth development and leadership skills. And as a youth commissioner, I'm working on trying to create a youth employment council to try to bring in employment opportunities to a central focal point where young people can come and be like, and make it easier for them to find it. Making things, decisions like these together in a unified manner will help, you know, spread these resources. But it is very true. When we don't have resources in an area and it's very deprived of resources, we have disparities. And what do? When you have disparities, you do what you have to do to survive.
Balam Vigil is a 19-year-old District 11 youth commissioner and a freshman at SF State. Alex Goldberg, you're a survivor of the Columbine shooting.
I am.
You have seen so many shootings since then, sadly. I mean, what was it like for you, just step back for a minute, when you watched all of these marches happening on Saturday and you saw such a range of voices on stage?
I had a few different opinions. I was inspired. I was invigorated. For the first time in a little while, felt a lot of hope that, and I think many people can agree with me on this, something about this time right now feels different, which is amazing and wonderful. But I'm also sad that we're here, that it's taking youth being so familiar with gun violence, particularly mass shootings in schools, that we are all practicing active shooter drills in schools. I'm sad. I'm sad that that's happening. I'm sad that so many youth are in this club that I had hoped nobody else would have to be in when I was 14 years old.
So, 14.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
Oh, my gosh. You're supposed to ask a lady that?
If you don't mind,
I'm 33.
Wow. 14 this happened when you were only 14.
Yeah. So it's strange that it's been much longer than how old I was. And I remember the first handful of shootings, mass shootings at schools after Columbine, I would reach out to survivors and we would have dialogues. And, you know, we would talk about that club that you've joined that you just don't want to be in. And it's awful that it's becoming so common and so regular. And I'm uplifted and impressed with the youth right now and how they're changing the dialogue this time.
As a Columbine survivor, what goes through your mind when you hear about another school shooting?
So much. You know, something I've noticed about myself is after the first few shootings, after hours, I would take the day off. I would need to recover. Some of the grief and the trauma came flooding back. With each one since, for me personally, I can't speak for my classmates, but for me personally, in a frightening way, it gets a little bit easier to walk through that day. And I don't like that. And it shouldn't be easy to walk through that day. When Parkland was unfolding on the news, I wrote down Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School a couple times on a post-it note at my desk because I wanted to make sure I remembered the name of that school because I was fearful that this would be another 24-hour news cycle, and then 24 to 48 hours later, we would forget the name of that school because it was so common, and I desperately didn't want to forget that. I didn't want to be like, what, wasn't there one in Florida a couple years ago? That made me so fearful. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled. Thrilled is the wrong word. I'm happy that we don't have that concern, but that notoriety shouldn't be a concern, but we shouldn't be forgetting that quickly.
Alex Goldberg is a survivor of the Columbine shooting. She was just 14 when that happened. She now works in schools, and her sister spoke at the San Francisco March for Our Lives rally on Saturday. Balam Vigil is a 19-year-old District 11 youth commissioner and a freshman at San Francisco State University. Keyshawn Newman traveled to Washington, D.C. from Chicago to attend the March for Our Lives rally. 2 years ago, Keyshawn's 16-year-old brother Randall was shot and killed in a shootout around the corner from his home. Keyshawn is telling his brother's story. He's a member of the Bold Resistance Against Violence Everywhere organization. He's a leader there, and he lives in Chicago's South Side. If you have any questions or comments for our guests, we would love to hear from you. And if you watched that powerful speech, I couldn't stop. I couldn't move away from the television. I think it was 3 hours long, and the speeches were so incredibly powerful. If you'd like to talk about how it affected you, also, what do you think about youth saying, yes, gun violence is obviously a crisis, but so is the lack of resources, especially in communities of color, where we don't have after-school programs, very few internships, don't have access to good jobs. We're talking about places like the Bayview Hunters Point in San Francisco or the South Side in Chicago. These are places that are run by Democrats, and they have a lot of money. So what about that message? You can also watch the video live on Facebook, facebook.com/KALW Public Radio. Click on the video, and then you can take part in the conversation. You can also give us a call at 866-798-8255 or email your call at kalw.org. Balam, in 2016, a shooting in the parking lot of June Jordan School for Equity here in San Francisco, it's a high school very close to our studios, injured 4 students. And you were attending a nearby high school. Can you tell us what happened that day?
That day, I will never forget, because my house is very close to here. I live in Lisbon Street, which is some blocks away from June Jordan and Cat. You know, I have friends who go to June Jordan. I remember being in high school and just kind of thinking, who got hurt? What's going on? You know, at first I heard my mom had called me saying there's police officers, you know, going up the hill. Be careful around the area. We're very used to having police activity around that area. So at first I didn't think that it was a school shooting. Up until I think a friend of mine told me, look at this, and someone posted something that 4 students had gotten shot. And then we were just scared that they had gotten into the school and they were going to, you know, kill people, and it was very frightening. And leadership in June Jordan has a very close connection. So we have a lot of our friends in June Jordan. A lot of June Jordan students have friends in leadership. We have like a little rivalry thing around sports, and you know they're amazing people and amazing students. So when we were hearing this going on, we start freaking out, and you know we start getting worried. But you know that this is so close at home. You know you hear about these shootings that are you know across state lines, and then when it goes back to your own district, kind of get really scared, and you kind of start realizing like this is what is going on. Like, you know, it was just very surprising. Mm-hmm. Still very surprised to this day with everything that went on.
And that was in 2016. Since then, we've had I don't know how many school shootings, but a lot of shootings. What goes through your mind when that happens?
When the Parkland shooting in Florida happened, I was actually one of the first people kind of looked at the news, and it was when they were like very fresh coming out of Parkland. You get scared because you know someone's most likely going to get hurt. And you know that for some reason the police don't react as fast or, you know, don't go inside the building as quick and, you know, to who I'm referencing to. So you know someone's going to hurt. The thoughts that go through my head are how many, though. And you don't want anyone to get hurt. And it's just like sometimes when I see this, I just have a moment of silence for the people that are experiencing this.
Balam Vigil is a District 11 youth commissioner and a freshman at San Francisco State University. Balam attended Leadership High and Galileo High. We're also joined in studio by Alex Goldberg, a survivor of the Columbine shooting. Alex now works in schools, and her sister Briar was at the San Francisco March for Our Lives and talked about the gun industry and is really encouraging people to look at their accounts and find out if people are supporting the gun industry without maybe even knowing about it. We'll ask Alex about that after the break. And Keyshawn Newman traveled to Washington from Chicago to attend the March for Our Lives rally. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will speak with a roundtable of teachers about growing teacher power. It took the longest strike in West Virginia's history for teachers to get a 5% raise, and their protest showed us what a unified workforce can actually do. We'll speak with teachers around the nation about what they're facing. We've done a few shows about this, but just a reminder, many Oklahoma schools are closed on Mondays because of budget cuts. It's completely connected to what we're talking about today. A lack of resources in Oklahoma means that kids are now not going to school on Monday. So tomorrow we'll be joined by a roundtable of teachers. Friday, it's our media roundtable. We'll be talking about coverage of the March for Our Lives and other topics. If you have a guest idea or a show idea, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. Today we are talking about the youth demanding not only an end to gun violence, but fully funded resources in their communities, after-school programs, internships, jobs, teacher pay. We're joined today by Balam Vigil, a District 11 youth commissioner in San Francisco and a freshman at SF State. Alex Goldberg is a survivor of the Columbine shooting and now works in schools. Keyshawn Newman traveled to Washington, D.C. from Chicago's South Side to attend the March for Our Lives rally. 2 years ago, Keyshawn's 16-year-old brother Randall was shot and killed in a shootout around the corner from his house. Keyshawn is a member of the organization Bold Resistance Against Violence Everywhere. Keyshawn, since the Parkland shooting, and now that, you know, the media are doing documentaries about you all, they're flying to South Chicago to tell your stories, how is the conversation with you and your friends changed, or what are you all talking about right now?
Well, right now, my friends inside of the acronym BRAVE that you could say Bold Resistance Against Violence Everywhere is actually called BRAVE. It's just the overall conversation about every single thing that we're trying to do and trying to work up to. Me and Trey Bosley are also inside of BRAVE. That's a comment ground that we both speak on too, and we just try to get the word out there that we have the power to vote, so we try to exercise that as much as we can for those who are able to.
And have you been visited by any people in your area who make decisions about spending, politicians, for example? Have they visited your area since you all have gone to D.C. to speak, since you've connected with survivors of Parkland?
I can't say except for Ernie Duncan. He actually came to one of our meetings that it was part of BRAVE, other Chicago students, and the students from Parkland. We all came together, and Ernie Duncan, he was inside the meeting. He was with us to speak upon the things that we're trying to create and all the things that we're trying to do. He helped us to go to Parkland as well.
And so Arnie,
the two students that had went to Parkland, Florida, to speak with the students.
This is Arnie Duncan, the former education secretary under Obama. So he was instrumental in making the travel happen?
Yes, he was.
What, when you spoke with your friends from Chicago after they got back from Parkland, what was their experience like?
They were just excited overall to see the different viewpoints of everyone that came up to the march, to see the great turnout, the support of everyone. We were just, overwhelmed to see just the outcome of the future that we all seen out there, and know that this is a great thing that's happening right now, and we're a part of it, and we're trying to keep it going. So,
yeah, and Keyshawn, keeping it going is the goal and the challenge, right? Because the media tend to move on from issues. There's so much going on right now. And the challenge is, what can we do to make sure that we continue to have these conversations and continue to give people like you the microphone? What are your thoughts about where you want this to go from here?
Right now, we're trying to educate those who are able to vote and have them out there voting. But overall, to keep it all going, we just ask that everyone out there that can help, just help support the communities out here, like those who helped us go see the march. have us out there to travel to go see the march, that we ask for just constant support so we can keep this going and keep the action.
Balam, what do you think needs to happen to make sure that we stick with this issue and continue to give it the attention it deserves?
Keep talking about it. Keep spreading the news and keep educating young people up on the issue. You know, it's always kind of difficult to continue pushing an issue with media. The media always, you know, it's whatever catches fire. But we need to start holding them more accountable and reaching out to media and be like, hey, like, don't forget about us. We're still here just because, you know, that other thing that happened out there is getting more, you know, attention. That doesn't mean you leave us. That just means you work harder to get us that attention. But also making sure that young people vote and educate people to vote. It's very crucial, you know, for your local, state, and federal elections. And we're in midterms, so it's very important. Mm-hmm. You know, it's how someone told me at the March for Our Lives protest here in San Francisco, we're going to be putting, like, you know, where the vote where our mouths are, and voting for the representatives who are with us. And that's how you get the issue to continue ongoing, and to keep getting the word out, and to keep educating people, and to continue being unified. Mm. It's very important.
Keyshawn, I just looked up the numbers for the governor's race in your state. And in January, these two people running for governor spent just, in the last 3 months, $28 million. This is expected to become the most expensive governor's race in the history of the country. Keyshawn, are you talking with your friends in South Chicago about the power of voting and getting involved in this political process?
Yes, we are. We're, like I said earlier, we're trying to educate them so we can make the right choices and we can vote on those who will not spend money just to, you know, develop their own, but also support the cities and the states that they're in right now, so we can all come together as one. So if we can vote for the right people to be in office and to represent us as Chicago or as Florida, as anyone, we just hope that we get the right one so we can all build as one.
According to CNN, Headcount, a nonpartisan organization that promotes participating, said that their volunteers registered 4,800 new voters at 30 March for Our Lives events nationwide on Saturday, and the number will probably end up being higher. I'm guessing these are a lot of youth who maybe just turned 18. What are your thoughts about that, Alex, making sure that these youth take part in the political process?
I think it is incredibly important. I think there may have been a moment where some of the youth in this country were feeling like the democracy was not working for them. Having their vote really matter was questionable at a time. But I think the only way that we can make this democracy work, that we can continue to make it a functioning democracy, is we do have to vote. We have to show where our allegiances are at the ballot box, wherever that may be. We're not all on the same side of the aisle. We don't have to be, but going to the ballot box, registering to vote, knowing that we are still in a country with democracy and we can make a difference with that vote, is incredibly important. So all the actions to make sure that all of our youth are registered to vote, making voting more accessible, is going to continue to be incredibly important in these next couple of years.
And Balam, you sit on the Youth Commission here, yes, in San Francisco, so you are completely politically engaged. Are you able to bring up issues around resources? We've got a mayor's race coming in June, and I have listened to a number of the debates. I haven't heard them really talk much about youth or about especially neighborhoods that are underfunded.
So I'm also secretary of Latino Democratic Club. So I'm going to be going to a couple forums now to try to ask those questions on gun violence, because it's very true. We need it. There are some talks about it, but it's usually not, you know, the centerfold of their platform, which it should be. Mm-hmm. Resources to our districts should be a talk that we should have around as a way to deplete gun violence. As a youth commissioner, things that I'm working on, we can work around issues with resources. So, for example, I noticed, especially for my district, it's an outer district. All of our jobs for retail or in our is downtown. It's very hard and expensive to work at downtown. Like, I spent $20 a week going there to work. That's for my paycheck. And youth aren't so aware about great employment opportunities. We have a lot of tech companies here that pay well but aren't, you know, contributing back to youth. So I'm currently actually in the midst of trying to put something together around a youth employment council to try to bring in, you know, people together and all these jobs and employment opportunities together to give these resources out to young people. The Youth Commission has been taking many priorities around trying to give resources to young people. Free Muni, and they were also part of Voter 16, which are some issues. And right now they're working on trying to get fee waivers for California IDs so that young people can pre-register at 16 and not have to worry about buying their California ID and carrying their Social Security. And so the Youth Commission does a very amazing job when it comes to trying to give as many resources to young people. The issue that we do see, though, is that we tend to get a pushback from adults. Luckily, a lot of our supervisors now are very on board with us, thankfully, but they're still adults to say, I don't know, we can't, you know. It's always good to bring in, you know, like a couple hundred young people into the office and be like, these are your constituents, they're turning 18 soon, pay attention to them, and we'll work together.
Balam Vigil is a District 11 youth commissioner in San Francisco and a freshman at San Francisco State. Alex Goldberg is a survivor of the Columbine shooting and now works in schools. Keyshawn Newman traveled from Chicago's South Side to Washington, D.C. on Saturday to attend the March for Our Lives rally. Keyshawn is a brave youth leader in Chicago. 2 years ago, Keyshawn's 16-year-old brother Randall was shot and killed in a shootout around the corner from his house. And today we are talking with people, young people, about the demand to end gun violence, but also a demand for basic resources, especially in low-income communities of color. If you'd like to join us, you can watch the interview live on Facebook, Facebook.com/KALW Public Radio. Click on the video, and then you can take part in a conversation. You can also email your call at KALW.org. What do you think about this moment we are at right now? You've got youth from so many different communities coming together, talking about their similarities, their differences, about funding schools, gun violence. They've got a long list of demands. What do you think about this moment? And if you have a child in school who ever faced a threat of gun violence, what are your thoughts? If you grew up in an area with high rates of gun violence or in an area that did not have fully funded resources, how did that affect you and your community? 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Keyshawn, Balam was just talking about job opportunities. What sorts of internship or job opportunities do you have in Chicago's South Side?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, what kind of opportunities do you have in Chicago, and it's the South Side especially, for internships and job opportunities?
None that I can say. I don't really hear or know about any of the programs or anything that's trying to promote the jobs.
I mean, what goes through your minds when you hear this?
It's shocking. It's very heartbreaking because, you know, they come at us with saying, like, oh, get a job and get your life together and you won't have to live. But it's like, but where? Like, my district, you know, a lot of, like I said, the big job opportunities are downtown. It's hard for us to commute all the way over there when you're in a district where, you know, where bus fares are going up, where BART fares are going up, and then certain bus lines don't run as often. And so to hear that there's other communities out there, like South Chicago, where they're having the same issues, we're not so different. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to create that connection and work together to ensure that employers are coming to our communities and trying to hire from us so that people, you know, don't come to us and say, oh, just get a job, when
right.
It's obviously not that easy. If it was easy to get a job, we'd be having a job.
Well, and it's not like you and Keyshawn are living in an area that used to have a paper mill that has left town, right? I mean, a lot of communities in this country, their jobs have been outsourced, and so they're really struggling. But we're talking about San Francisco and Chicago here. Keyshawn, if internships and job opportunities were readily available in your area, what would you like to do?
Make more awareness of where they can get a job, but also like have more violence prevention programs, just like Brave and Community invest in community investment in businesses.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the work you do with Brave.
Well, as you know, the acronym is Bold Resistance Against Violence Everywhere. So we're just trying to teach the students and everyone around us, like, what we're trying to create as a whole, the community that we're trying to create, the image, the steps we can make. We bring out the leader qualities in everyone. We just try to make this neighborhood a peaceful place. I know I said that a lot, but a peaceful place for all. Mm-hmm. We want the best for Chicago, and if it may take long, we do want to continue this fight. So we're trying to get the youth involved. The youth has a powerful voice. We're trying to convey that over the country so everyone can know that youth is going to make history.
Hmm. Keyshawn, how does Brave reach young people in Chicago's South Side who might not be involved in any programs?
It brings us together, I'd say. You probably won't be the most talkative person or the most knowledgeable about things, but Brave, I'd say, brings out, like I said, the leader qualities in someone. I know a friend that I just met from Brave. She said that she doesn't really like to speak out and things like that, but once she joined Brave, it opened her eyes up to the things that she wasn't taught as a child, or just the things that she should know. And now it wants her to actually help out the community and just better herself, as in better, also as better everyone around her.
How did you find Brave?
My friend had told me about the things that they were doing inside of Brave, the marches that I've been seeing and heard about as I came around the neighborhood. I just wanted to be a part of that and also make as much of a difference as I can as I'm a part of Brave. And I hope that everyone can also do the same.
Keyshawn Newman is a leader with Brave, Bold Resistance Against Violence Everywhere in Chicago's South Side. He traveled from Chicago to D.C. to attend the March for Our Lives rally. He's wanting people to know about his brother. His 16-year-old brother, Randall, was shot and killed in a shootout around the corner from his house. And we're also joined today by Balaam Vigil, a District 11 youth commissioner and a freshman at San Francisco State University. Alex Goldberg is a survivor of the Columbine shooting and now works in schools. Alex, I understand you work in the Tenderloin?
I do work
in
the Tenderloin, yeah.
So what are your thoughts about hearing Keyshawn and the young women we had yesterday from the Bayview? I mean, they just want basic resources like any young person, access to after-school programs, maybe a paid internship, a decent job, going to college, and then a decent job. I mean, what can we do to get this really on the radar of these policymakers?
I think it's incredibly important to be talking about that and to be talking about how we as adults can be the bridge between organizations that either are available right now for those types of opportunities or need to be more robust. I think, for example, in the Tenderloin, I think of organizations like 826 Valencia, Larkin Street Youth, the Boys and Girls Club. These are all wonderful, wonderful organizations where we as adults need to consider how we are providing our time, treasure, and talent to make sure they are as robust as possible so that they are as widely accessible as possible. So if you can donate to these organizations in your community, if you can go and be a mentor, bring your organization there to volunteer, create that gap, create that bridge to these youth, I think it's incredibly important. We do have ways as individual adults that we can get involved. I think it's important to make sure our policymakers ensure that funding goes to these organizations, right, that there's more opportunity for organizations, that these organizations can afford their rent. I think it's really, really important. But as individual adults, as individual employees of our own companies, I think we can do more. I think we can get out into our neighborhoods and really ask the question on how can I provide my time, treasure, and talent to make sure that these opportunities are more available.
Well, that's what's so frustrating is you have very wealthy areas like San Francisco and Chicago, and this should just be a no-brainer.
It should be.
These groups should be fully funded, and the focus should be on these underserved communities.
It should be. And I think they are right next door to some of the most wealthy and profitable organizations. And many of these organizations are doing what they can to get into the communities. But I think that the more engagement between community members, youth in the community, community partners, adults in our community, and these organizations, the more partnerships that can happen, the more easily that flow can happen between accessibility.
Balam?
That's very true. So, for example, I work in Excelsior Works, which is, like I said, it's a hub, basically, for employment in my district. And I noticed things where, you know, people are coming for resources. And I used to do the data entry, and I noticed moms that are single moms and have to take care of 5 children and have very little money. But all the other... But all these other organizations that we have around our district are rather too far away for them, not accessible due to language, or there's some accessibility issue or transportation issue, which I think we need to really tackle in order to be able to effectively tap into communities, especially of color and at-risk communities, to be able to give them the resources they need to not be in the situations they are now, and to also be able to, you know, have partnerships and to partner the community up with these nonprofit organizations and programs to come to our communities. They might be based over the Tenderloin, but I'm sure that, you know, Assemble Excelsior Works will, or some other organization will be, well, you can use our space to host something at our space. Try to create partnerships together. One of the things that I noticed in high school a lot was that, you know, there were times where nonprofits and other programs would compete against one another to try to get young people to be a part of their programs and the other, instead of working together and making sure that if they don't have availability, they're able to send them off to them and having some form of connection with one another.
Mm. Balam, since you have a lot of experience with the political process, you sit on the San Francisco Youth Commission and you speak with politicians about your needs. What would you say to Keyshawn Newman and other youth in Chicago who might just be starting out in this process?
It's not easy, but it's rewarding when you go to their offices and you demand things and you look at their faces and you yell at them or you tell them this is what we want. And to just work together. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my community and for the resources that were available to me and the people who pushed me into this position to push each other to better yourselves and to go to not be afraid of going down to your representatives' offices and being, these are our needs. They might give you a face, they might get mad, but you know what? At the end of the day, they represent you, and they're not doing a good job if they're not listening to you. And definitely, like I said, it's not an easy thing, but it's not impossible, and it's definitely something I will advocate for you to, like, really, really get into and to keep pushing your representatives.
Keyshawn, it would be amazing if you and your fellow brave youth leaders were able to maybe go to one of these governor debates and ask a question, right? Or maybe demand that the media... allow you, because usually it's, you know, someone in the media asks the questions, but it would be great if you and your fellow youth could ask the question or maybe go to one of their offices and demand that they take a trip in Chicago's South Side and talk to you about resources.
That would be a great thing. They can actually see firsthand of what we're dealing with on a daily basis. So they can hear stories about it all day, but they don't really come out here and take the time to actually speak upon it and actually support us with, like, the things that we need, the funding and all of the supplies that we need to make this community a great place.
Mm. Keyshawn, I'm sure that we have a lot of listeners who are wondering what they can do to support the work that you and your fellow brave youth leaders are doing. What would be most effective?
Well, tell you that Brave is the Violence Youth Council at St. Sabine, and it's our after-school center where Father Flager has been a peace activist for a long time in Chicago. So if anyone would like to contact him, to just go to Facebook.com and search the Brave Youth Leaders and message them for contact if they have any further questions or would like to speak to.
That's great. And we also have a link at our website, yourcallradio.org, along with the link of the New York Times short documentary about you, Keyshawn, and your fellow Brave Youth Leaders. Balaam Vigil, what about here in San Francisco? I mean, what can people do to ensure that youth and underserved communities get the resources that they need?
There's the Youth Commission. I do really recommend young people come to the Youth Commission. Our meetings are public. We meet the first and third Mondays every month as a full body, and then we have committee meetings. Come to us, and we can work together in creating a strategy plan with you. Apply to the Youth Commission. Apply to leadership positions here in San Francisco for young people, such as the DCYF Advisory Board. We have different other youth councils. But also, and most fourth of all, get involved in your communities. I think I've noticed that when we work together, like I said, we get stuff done. But also, knowing that this is your community, knowing that this is who you represent and who you work with, and it's not just a community anymore when you think that way. It's a family. For me, when I'm at D11 representing, I'm not representing a community. I'm representing my family, which is D11 and San Francisco youth overall.
Alex, final thoughts? What can we do to make sure this conversation continues?
Continue the conversation is what we can do. So make sure that you get involved in any organizations, that, especially around gun violence, if we're continuing that conversation. Make sure you get involved with Every Town for Gun Safety, Moms Demand Action. You should review your investments for gun money. I think that's really important. Make sure that your 401k, Roth IRA, your personal mutual funds are not invested in the gun industry if that's something that you feel passionate
about. What's the easiest way to go about doing that?
There is a great website called goodbyegunstocks.com that you can visit, that you type in your mutual fund, your investment fund, anything like that, and it will tell you if you have money in the gun industry and if you care to divest. I was surprised to find out I was profiting from the gun industry in my 401k and my retirement plans, so I immediately divested. So I encourage anyone interested in continuing that level of support and activism between our voting times that that's a good way to do that.
GoodbyeGunStocks.com.
Yes.
Thank you. Alex Goldberg is a survivor of the Columbine shooting and works in schools in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. Balaam Vigil is a District 11 youth commissioner and a freshman at San Francisco State University. Keyshawn Newman is a member of Brave Youth Leaders in Chicago's South Side. He traveled from Chicago to Washington to attend the March for Our Lives rally. 2 years ago, Keyshawn's 16-year-old brother, Randall, was shot and killed in a shootout around the corner from his house, and Keyshawn is telling his brother's story. Keyshawn, Balaam, and Alex, thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. Your Call is produced here at KALW. I'm Rose Aguilar. Thank you for joining us. It's Your Call.